to escape is futile. Who child? It's time to jump in too wild. That's why we got more than two styles. To adapt in the situation, too shy. And though the road is rocky, I'm ready to try the next mile to break sight to the blind man. It's down to the left child. We will survive. And it's time to pull the next. Swimming through the waters of Babylon like a rebel fish. Struggleist, specialist, predator and survivalist. Spitting heaven's fire from his lips. Burn the same driver.
Welcome, listeners, to Time for an Awakening on Black Talk Radio Network, New Media for the New Millennia. This is a history and current events program from a cultural perspective. We find this program necessary because Hosea 4:6 states, "My people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge." But we as a people can turn this around. Proverbs 4:7 states, "Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom with all thy getting, get an understanding." Again, welcome to the program this evening with your hosts, Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. The number to reach us to join the conversation this evening is 215-490-9832. Again, that's 215-490-9832. We're streaming live at several locations. You can go to timeforanawakening.com, which is the home page, and catch the live stream from that location. You can go to www.blacktalkradionetwork.com/timeforanawakening. Again, that's www.blacktalkradionetwork.com/timeforanawakening. You catch the live stream there also. You can go to ourradionetwork.com. Again, that's ourradionetwork.com. They broadcast out of the Black Belt and catch the live stream there. Or you can download TuneIn to any of your handheld devices. TuneIn is a free app. And in that TuneIn search engine, just type in Time for an Awakening. There you'll see the icon and you can stream the program live, even into your car if you have the Bluetooth capabilities or the auxiliary connection. Again, that's Time for an Awakening radio program with the live stream on the TuneIn app. Drop us an email at timeforanawakening@gmail.com. Again, that's timeforanawakening@gmail.com. Time for an Awakening also has a fan page on Facebook. In that Facebook search engine, just type in Time for an Awakening radio program. There you always see interesting content being posted daily by myself or Brother Richard. And do me a favor, before you leave that page, just hit that like button. That's Time for an Awakening radio program with the fan page on Facebook, and Time for an Awakening media is there, always full of the latest podcasts of the various programs on Time for an Awakening media, interesting articles that you can read, download at later times and share with your friends. Also check out that Time for an Awakening marketplace and our partnership with the BB Toomey. Always interesting things being put in the marketplace all the time. African language classes, classes on education, economics, social systems, health, and much more being taught by professors on both the continent and in the diaspora. So make that one of your favorites and put that in your address bar. That's timeforanawakening.com. Timeforanawakening.com will take you straight to Time for an Awakening Media. It's 8:09 here in the city of Philadelphia on April the 3rd. This Friday evening, cool Friday evening, and we're in freestyle Friday mode here on Time for an Awakening. Anything that's on your mind, you can give us a call. We'll talk about it, and we'll be right back to get the program started after a brief word from our sponsors.
Mr. Moderator, our distinguished guests, brothers and sisters, our friends and our enemies, everybody is here.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
All Insurance Incorporated, an African-American owned and operated insurance agency in business for over 20 years, located at 231 Southeastern Road in Glenside, PA, with other offices in Germantown and West Philadelphia. Call now for commercial insurance quotes, homeowners insurance quotes, automobile insurance quotes, notary and tax services, representing over 15 major A-rated insurance companies, offering a discount on all notary services if when you call in for a free quote. Call this number, 215-885-2444. That number is 215-885-2444. 215-885-2444. All Insurance Incorporated.
Before your roof becomes unruly, call Dooley. Dooley Brothers, specializing in shingle, rubber roofs, gutters, downspouts, and vinyl sidings. Call for your free estimate today. 215-224-3882. That's 215-224-3882. Dooley Brothers Roofing, the roofing experts you can trust. That number again, 215-224-3882. 215-224-3882. Before your roof becomes unruly, call Dooley.
RG Electrical Inspections provides electrical inspections for realtors, licensed electricians, and homeowners. Licensed and insured underwriter, serving Philadelphia and surrounding area. Call today, 484-268-9837.
Overworked? Suffering with an underperforming company, headache customer, staff, or vendors? Or are you a startup who wants to get it right the first time and avoid the costly mistakes? We turned a $24,000 a year odd job handyman service into a seven-figure high-end custom home builder and commercial contractor licensed and operating in three states. This is just one transformation created for entrepreneurs like you in various industries around the country. Not what you're used to from accounting and business consulting? Well, welcome to New Business Solutions. If you're ready to go beyond advising, coaching, and training and get implemented results, call 301-244-9072. Let New Business Solutions apply the best comprehensive administrative, accounting, operations, human resources, management, sales, and marketing to help you actualize your vision for yourself and your company. From anywhere nationally, call 301-244-9072. Spelled new as in numerous on your device right now. Book your free consultation at newbusinesssolutions.com.
History is a clock that people use to tell their political and cultural time of day. It is also a compass that people use to find themselves on the map of human geography. History tells of people where they have been and what they have been, where they are and what they are. Most important, history tells a people where they still must go, what they still must be. The relationship of history to the people is the same as the relationship of a mother to her child.
From antiquity to the present, our people need to develop a new paradigm. It's time for an awakening. With your host, Brother Elliot, Sundays 7 p.m., Fridays at 8 p.m. for podcasting or live program scheduling. Hit us up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com. Welcome back to Time for an Awakening. And before we get started with our program this evening, I want to welcome in my co-host, Philadelphia activist and tour guide at the African American Museum here in Philadelphia at 7th and Arch Street. Brother Richard is with us. Brother Richard.
Yes, sir, Brother Elliot.
How are you, sir?
Today is a little solemn. It's, my brother just informed us a couple of days ago the loss of his only son, and it's kind of weighing heavy on him and us, you know. So with the little chill, we're going through this in the big chill of what's going on in general, you know, people dealing with the weight of loved ones being lost because of this virus. So it kind of hits home, you know what I mean?
Was he sick, Bridget? I mean, it wasn't a reference to this virus.
No, it wasn't. No, it wasn't a reference to the virus, something else. So, but it's, you know, the feeling of a loss of a loved one and, you know, in this moment right now, with so many being lost, especially within our community. It's just, you know, when it gets close, it really makes you understand what we have to deal with, or at least what I would like us as a community to deal with is that question of not just only where we go from here, but what is it that we want to create? You know, because right now, and a lot of us are suffering, not just because of the virus or something personal with happening in our family, but because our condition is just that dire in general, you know? So, but, you know, I just wanted to put that out there, and you know, so that he'd know that I am, and the family is, you know, just carrying that burden with him also. But other than that, Elliot, you know, I'm not one to be down about things, because I don't believe life is a here and an end. You know, we are, we continue on in our journey. And so for young Muhammad, you know, he's continuing on his journey. So other than that, Elliot, you know how that goes.
How old was he, Richard?
Around 23.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. So it really hits, you know, and he's my brother's only son. So it really hits him. It's hitting him hard.
Okay.
It's something. But, it, you know, Elliot, if you don't mind me, as usual, you know, let me say to the Time for Awakening listening audience, Elliot gives me a lot of leeway, because I start running in my mouth and I think I forget how to shut up. But
wait a minute. This is a talk program. That's what you're supposed to do. Come on. No, everything's all right.
You know, because I, you know, this week, Elliot, is, you know, I don't know if you've heard this phrase, because of, you know, they're telling us to stay in, right? And they're telling us if we go out, how we should, our behavior should change. And that's one thing in dealing with behavioral change, which is interesting in itself, which we, you know, we've been saying within the Black community that we do need to change our behavior, right? We need to change our behavior from being subservient and depressed, being oppressed and colonized, to liberating and a sovereign and a self-assertive, self-aware and self-energized group of people. But, you know, what I'm hearing, and I'm going to ask you, have you been hearing this, where people say that, you know, they're not taking it serious? Because you see a lot within the Black community where people are not, and this is young and older, they're not wearing masks and they're not wearing gloves, and they are walking in some kind of close proximity to each other. And that raised a thought for me. But let me ask you, have you heard, I mean, in your sphere, have you heard people saying that, as the reports talk about the increasing number of Black people are getting, you know, contracting or moving around in the city? Contracting the virus and moving around in the city?
Well, yeah. I mean, I've heard the reports. There was a report here. And in fact, I got a report I want to read while you're saying this. Mm-hmm. But I think they mentioned in Philadelphia that most of the cases, 46% of the cases, are Black, and 37% are white. And then the mm-hmm. other ones are split up between other nationalities. You know, riding around the areas, you know,
mm-hmm.
now I just quoted the Philadelphia figure, but let me read this, being that you mentioned this, Richard. I'll read this now. This came out of a published report today. Black people make up 12% of Michigan's population, but at least 40% of the mm-hmm. corona deaths. The coronavirus is affecting and killing an alarming portion of Black residents in Michigan. And this was from the Detroit Metro. Black people make up 12% of Michigan's population, but the state's 417 corona deaths, 40% are black, 26% are white, and 30% are unknown, and 4% are mixed race or others, according to data released Thursday by the Michigan Department of Health and Human Services. The nearly 11,000 who tested positive for coronavirus, 35% are black, 25% are white, 34% are unknown, and 6% represent other races. This is the first time the state released data on racial makeup of corona patients. The disclosure raises serious questions about why black people have been disproportionately impacted. A quarter of the deaths and confirmed infections are in Detroit, where 80% of the population is black. Suburban communities with large black populations have also been hit hard by the coronavirus. They include East Point, Escorse, Highland Park, Oak Park, Redford Township, River Rouge, Southfield, and Warren, according to the analysts. There's no question that COVID-19 outbreak is having a more significant effect on marginalized and poor communities, and particularly people of color. While COVID-19 can affect anyone regardless of race or class, African Americans has historically been more likely to have higher rates of chronic medical conditions such as heart disease, diabetes, and cancer in the United States. We know that people with underlying medical conditions are more likely to become seriously ill from COVID-19. So here in Detroit, Richard, it's similar to what's going on in Philadelphia, yeah, where the majority of people making up these cases are black. I think it's a combination of reasons for that. Some of it is flat out, ignorance. You know, I quote that, scripture, and you'll find righteousness in a lot of different texts, that our people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. You know, the other day I went up to my place to pick up mail because I didn't want it piling up, being, you know, it's closed. Mm-hmm. And it's a schoolyard down the street from the shop. And when I rode by there, I seen 8 guys out there, 4-on-4, playing basketball. And they were young. They were teenagers.
Mm-hmm.
And at first, when I drove up, they kind of caught me because, you know, I'm going and I want to catch the light. So when I drove by the school and I looked and saw them. So when I left my place after I picked up the mail, I came back and they were still there. So I pulled over and said, "Hey, what are y'all doing over there? Why don't you go home? Don't you realize what's going on?" Oh, and you know, one of the young people knew me, you know, because, you know, I'm in the area.
Right. Right.
So they said, "Oh, yeah, yo, we're leaving right now." So then they act like they were dispersing. You know, I don't know whether they did or not, because I started moving towards my car when I saw them walking away. But the thing is, Richard, these guys were between 12 and 15.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not in school. So you would think that the parents would have them in the house maybe doing some type of lessons or something, because it was in the daytime. I didn't go to bed at night. And why are you out there playing basketball, coming in close contact? You're sweating. You know, you're bumping up against guys. You're playing defense. They weren't adults. They were children.
Yeah. And that's the thing that's, you know, this week, you know, I'm trying to, you know, understand this and being honest, Elliot, that particular phrase, I really take some offense to it when I hear some of us in speaking about, the ones, the observations they're making about, you know, black folks in this sense of not taking it serious. When you say about the ignorance, it's because I think they don't really understand the condition that we're in. You know, when you read those stats, you know, even in there, they say they don't understand why we have this health disparity. You know what I mean? Like, they collected statistics, but then when they see we're high in high blood pressure, we're high in what diabetes, we're high in unemployment, all these social and physical indicators, we are high because the condition, the structural condition that Black people are in, creates that. And what it seems to me in the symbols I hear sometimes out of young people, I don't know how many times in the brief history I've been on this planet have I heard, especially being aware, heard a young person say, well, I don't think I'm going to make it to 20. They're already looking at their lifespan being short, right? Or I hear older person, whether, you know, who have high blood pressure, heart condition, cancer, and you say, well, you need to change your diet. And then they say, I'm going to die from something. These statements, when we look at them from a cultural context, is saying that the condition I live in is so bad that I don't think that I'm going to be around, or I don't care if I go. So when we have a pandemic, and another one that came to my mind, Elliot, is what happens to a young mother or a middle-aged mother who's working 2-3 jobs, right? I mean, juggling daycare. What is the stress factor that woman or man, young man, who's trying to do? What is the stress factor in trying to, quote unquote, do the right thing and don't have the skill sets in this environment that we're in, to where they're every day trying to juggle between paying the rent, buying the food, you know, satisfying these children or even themselves, which is nothing wrong with that, and not having enough resources to do that. And this ain't something that just happened in this moment while we're dealing with coronavirus. This is something that is generational. So it seems to me that when people say not taking it serious because they're trying to tell us, we're trying to protect you now, right? We're trying to save your life. When we know instinctively, even if we don't say it, we live in an environment that has been trying to kill us because it's not providing any opportunity.
Well, you know, I'm glad you mentioned that at the end of your statement, because another thing I've noticed, and I know you noticed it, you know, being in South Philly, my neighborhood where I grew up, I'm riding through the area. And, you know, my brother called me the other day and mentioned that he saw the same thing in his area. And he's in the West Philly area. Right. I'm riding through the area when I left my place, and I purposely rode around. I go up here on Broad Street, and there's several stop and goes, those Asian places. Mm-hmm. With beer and chicken wings and all this other stuff. Ride by there. Number one, they still open. They selling food, which they said is supposed to be closed. And they selling alcohol, which is closed in Pennsylvania. And they're open. And it's our people standing out front, laughing, joking, and you know, socializing. Mm-hmm. Now, and then the police, the 35th district is about maybe 3-4 blocks down the street. So police is riding up and down all the time, reporting back to the station, moving up and down. They don't see those businesses open. They didn't go over there and shut them down. They don't care. Just like you said, they don't care. But the thing is, we should care.
Right, exactly.
We're not children. I mean, I wanted to go over there and just, you know, I'm a grown man, and they're grown men too, so I can't go over there and just forcibly grab somebody. But, you know, do you need the police to go over there and tell you to go home or disperse? Why are you standing in front? Number one, you shouldn't be going in them places anyway. That's one of the reasons why it's high blood pressure and all in the community. But you know those places are supposed to be closed. If you need beer or alcohol that much, to get to beer and alcohol, you should have had some at home. You be at home with your family. What's the purpose in being out there around in places? And that's only a small percentage of our people that's doing that in these communities. Mm-hmm. But that's all you need is a small percentage to spread some type of stuff going on. That's all you need is a couple of ignoramuses.
And my contention is, even though they may be the physical representation, there is some, because we don't see what is going on in the home, that is another manifestation of still the structural depravity that we're living in.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? If they're saying that the country that 6 million people have already applied for unemployment, you know, and people are, I mean, when I say the women and men that are doing 2 and 3, and I've heard young, like 20-something, 30-something, they're working 2 and 3 jobs. They're juggling 2 and 3 time-wise, and they're doing it with some kind of pride. But that's no way to be able to, you know, to have to live to live, right? What is going on within the house of those? Our condition is not, it is a powder keg that hasn't, it erupts every time, but it hasn't. And it's because it's structurally created that way.
Yeah, exactly.
But then when they have this, they're making it like, oh, it's, we don't understand these numbers.
You don't understand. Yeah. Yeah, you're right. You're right. I mean, I'm a black business in the community that's been instructed to close by the governor, and it specifically mentioned the business that I'm in. But these two, the Asian businesses, a lot of them are still open, and these Latino, these poppy stores are open in the community. And they open because supposedly they have a necessity, because they got some canned goods and all in there. But you know, they got the people piled up in those stores. You go by some of them places, they out front. They inside. That's not social distancing. That's not a supermarket where they can kind of space things out. Those aisles are thin. Yeah, come on. You've been in them places, Richard.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Those places are still open to the community. If you got a legitimate business and you're black, you're closed. And the police is not enforcing them places to be closed. I done heard too many people from all different neighborhoods say that those places, Asian, those stop and goes and all, is the majority of them is still open and doing business in broad daylight. Let me go to a call here. Right. Bring Scotty in. Scotty?
Yes, Elliot. Can y'all hear me?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Hey, just want to inform the listening audience another way that they could tune in if they're not at a computer and they don't have tune in. They can also download the Uber Conference app, and it allows you to call in from your phone without using your carrier. So if you got a phone like me that you don't have no service on, but you using on Wi-Fi, there you go. And you can even chat in the chat room and all of that. I thought that was pretty cool. So Uber Conference app is another way you can get plugged into these programs. Let me say this.
Oh, I didn't know that. Go ahead, Scotty.
Yeah, I knew about the app, but I never really used it before, so that's why I mentioned it to y'all
okay. And
the listeners. Look, color stupid is stupid does. I heard this real smart man named Forrest Gump say that. Stupid is no, that was Bubba. Bubba's mama said that, right? So anyway, it don't know no color, man. Stupid don't know no color. Ignorance don't know no race, you know. And buffoonery don't know no class. People are just people. And, you know, I'm seeing a whole lot of stupid mess going on around the world. Now, when I look at this COVID-19 pandemic in the context of the black community, those underlying health issues that you mentioned, you know, we do. We do have, you know, diabetes, high blood pressure. You know, on average, not saying all of them because I don't have those problems. But, you know, because of our diet, And then also lack of access to health care. You know, people keep promoting this Obamacare. Look, it's still millions of people who can't even afford it, and them premiums keep going up. And then you still got the deductibles and stuff. We need Medicare for All now. I don't mean to go on no Medicare for All rant. But the fact is, millions of people don't see a doctor regularly. You know, they're not able to go to a physical every year. And they don't have the money to just pay for one out of pocket. So they be having a whole lot of underlying issues and not even be aware. That's why you have people, you know, dying in their 40s and 50s and 60s is even early. You know, to me, that's an early death in your 60s. So that makes it especially dangerous for certain communities because this thing, you know, they have said, and they don't know everything it is to know. That's why it's called a new coronavirus, or COVID-19 is the name they given it. They don't know everything, but some of the things that they have found out is that those with high blood pressure and other respiratory, like asthma, stuff like that, are susceptible to this virus. Now, the vast majority of us going to get it and get over it, you know. But what I try to get across to people, okay, y'all trying to say, you know, people die every year from the flu. Well, that's true. And that's usually elderly people with underlying conditions. But this thing is 35 times the mortality rate higher than just the seasonal flu.
Yeah.
And so when you know, what's the population? 300 million in this country. So if the death rate is just, let's say, 1%, man, that's still a whole lot of people. Yeah. I'm getting old. I ain't too good at doing it in my head anymore. But 1% of 300 million is about 300,000, maybe.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's a lot of freaking
people. Yeah.
And projecting for at least 3-4% if they don't get people to the movie conform and obey, right? If they don't, they're looking at 4% of the population is going to pass from it.
And it's going to be, again, a majority of us because of everything we talked about, no access to health care, all these underlying conditions. We especially should be taking it serious. I've even had to get on my own children with one of my children. And, you know, she's not a child anymore. She's an adult. But at first, she wasn't taking it serious until she started hearing about these deaths in the community. And that scared her. Mm-hmm. Okay, you know, because they was talking about going to one of the state parks. You know, we got this mountain called Crowder's Mountain, you know, that you can go and cook out and all. And then I seen them on Facebook talking about, we're going to meet at Crowder's Mountain. I said, hold up. Y'all not taking this serious, you know. And so, you know, that was about 2 weeks ago. Now they taking it serious. We've had 25 cases pop up in our little rural county, and one person has died. And then some other people that we know have died, and we suspect that could be it as well. So people do need to take this serious, and it's very simple. I mean, how simple is it to stay 6 feet away from a person? I know you mentioned the little bodegas up there and how small they are, but, you know, I went to the Dollar General, you know, and we got food and stuff stocked up, but I still go by there to see what I can get, you know, and stock up even more. Preparing for the worst. But I go in there, they got X's on the floor at the register to show you how far 6 feet is, you know, apart. And I, you know, I'm not going out a lot, but I, you know, since this thing hit, I've probably been out to the store maybe 4 or 5 times. I go to the gas station. And so it's simple. Like I told my daughter, she came here yesterday. She lived just up the road. I wanted to use her car. She gave me the keys and I used it as a teaching moment. Okay. So I got her keys. I went to the store, put some gas in her car for her, cause you know, she out of work and what have you. I know she needed some gas. So I put some gas in there. Well, I had to touch that gas pump. I had to touch the money, you know, I didn't use no money. I used my debit card, but anyway, you know, I bought a soda or whatever. I touched the handle of the door to go in the store, And so then I come back home and I tell her, now, what am I going to do? I'm going to walk over here to this sink before I touch anything. I'm going to wash my hands for 30 seconds from my wrist, all, you know, get all in between the fingers, like I'm about to operate on somebody, you know, watch the video and they show you how to wash your hand. Cause I said, I don't know who had them keys. I don't know where you been. I don't know who been in your car touching stuff. And so this is the simple thing that you have to do. Wash your hands. Don't touch your face. And stay away from crowds. Now, is that so hard? Is those instructions hard, fellas?
They're not. And this is the only point that gets me, Scotty. And it's different. I believe it's different. But I'm let me say this. My perception is in the Black community. And I understand. Saying, but I think it's different.
Richard, I'm in a white community.
Right, right.
And when you said they had an
X on the floor, that showed me that, because ain't nobody putting no X on the floor 6 feet or in that. I even in Philadelphia supermarkets, they ain't doing
really,
that.
Really. Yeah, no. I don't think they did it at the where I was at, but I noticed that when I went in the Dollar General that they had X's on the floor. I was like, oh, that's nice. They showing you how far 6 feet is apart. Okay, oh man, what was the point I was about to make? But see. And we still got stupid. Now, my mom go to church. I'm a Christian, but I don't participate in organized religion, haven't in 20 years. And so my mom and my cousin that she goes to church with, well, they don't go to church no more. They doing it online on Facebook. Their pastor does it on Facebook. That's smart, you know, because when this thing first kicked off, they just said 50 and under, where they go to a small church. I'm like, I still wouldn't go. I still wouldn't go, Mom. And you're not taking Micah, my grandson. He got to stay here, you know. And so now, you know, they didn't shut that down. But then I was on the Gaston Gazette Facebook page, and they gonna show a picture of this pastor and some of his members, and they like they taking a class photo all close to each other and stuff, talking about how they gonna let God handle it, and they gonna live in faith. And I put on there, they're not social distancing correctly. And then I've read about some of these people at these mega churches had to be arrested because they wanted to ignore it. Yeah. White people, mm-hmm. you know, wanted to ignore it. So, you know, stupid is stupid does. It don't have no color on it. It don't have no age on it. It don't have no class on it. It don't have no race on it, man. And people need to take this serious unless they want to become a casualty, or you might be one of those ones that catch it and recover and not even know that you had it in, because I've read about a story where this person recovered, and now they want people who's recovered plasma because it has that COVID-19 antibodies in it. Give, because he gay, you know, and they found out because he had to take this certain medication and what have you. But, you know, so it's people that's catching it, recovering, but then they still can spread it to other people. Right. And I told my niece who flies, she works for American Airlines, and yes, they still flying, although not as much anymore. And I told her, don't come to the house. You stay at your apartment. You don't go to nobody's house because you in a high-risk area. So you need, when you in town, you need to quarantine in place at your apartment, which she told me she had already been doing it. But I was like, don't go around your grandma because she got high blood pressure. You know, that's her only underlying health issue, but she ain't good health overall. But I mean, man, we could be killing those we love by not paying attention and just following the very simple rules of social distancing. Don't touch your face and wash your hands. If you go outside the house, and even if I go outside the house and come in the house and touch the doorknob, I'm washing my hands. It's that simple, guys. I just wanted to share that.
Thanks, Scotty. Talk to you soon, man.
But you know, LA, the thing that when you mentioned those high numbers, and we're such a small population, you know, in general, we're what, 13, 14, let's give it 14% of the population, and we have in numbers at 40% in dense areas. It speaks to something else. And then having these kind of behaviors that are self-destructive. and we have rallies, and we're talking about, before this came, we were talking about our self-destructive behaviors in one fashion, form or fashion. And that has to change. And that's what I'm, you know, the thing of looking for, you know, when we're sitting here in isolation. And that's what made me think about Brother Carlton Jones, DVD, you know, the Independence Day Project. And it gives examples in there, but the thing that captured me was that I think that we should be, because people are at home, and I'm getting the impression people are playing, watching movies, and I don't know what I don't know if you're included in that number, Elliot, but I don't know what y'all ball fanatics are doing, you know, with no sports games going on. I hope y'all ain't losing y'all mind out there. But, you know, I mean, you know, like that runs every season. You got a new one. And if I use where my workplace as any kind of indicator, I mean, sometimes them guys be getting in heated arguments of who playing. I mean, and they ain't betting. Well, there is some pools that going on in there. But, you know, so yeah, I don't know what.
Yeah, but they ain't getting paid. I mean, they hollering.
You know, but they know the stats of the person, the history, and the whole bit. But that's aside. But what I liked about Brother Jones put in the Independence Day, and if I can just,
you know, Richard, do me a favor, hold that a little bit, because I want to share some of these other articles, because I want to spend some time on some of the things that Carl Jones talked about in that documentary, because I think it's important to kind of analyze that, and I hope that the men, because they had been doing it before this started,
right?
But I hope they have some more gatherings with critical discussions on some of the things contained in that documentary, right? Because it's hitting us right in the face right now. But before you do that, let me, because we was in the vein of talking about some of our people have to really kind of analyze some of the behaviors and take things a little bit more serious. Let me read this article here, the published report that came out today. Detroit bus driver who ranted about a coughing passenger dies of coronavirus. A Detroit bus driver who had expressed anger on a Facebook about coughing passenger has died from COVID-19, officials said Thursday. Jason Hargrove felt ill about 4 days after posting the video on social media on March 21st. He died on Wednesday, said the head of the driver's union. Hargrove, 50, posted a profanity-laced video complaining about a woman who he said had repeatedly coughed while on his bus. The coronavirus can spread through air droplets after people cough or sneeze. The woman was not in the video. Hargrove said that the passengers are public workers. The drivers are public workers trying to do our job, trying to make an honest living and take care of our families. And a quote, for you to get on the bus and cough several times without covering your mouth, you know we're in the middle of a pandemic. That lets me know that some folks don't care, Hargrove says. At some point in time, we've got to draw the line and say enough is enough. I feel violated. On March 17th, the city eliminated fares, promising more cleaning and told bus drivers to enter and exit from the rear door only. The changes occurred after drivers declined to work the day after to protest conditions. Now, I've noticed they've done that. I guess they've done that nationwide. You see it in Detroit, and then now they instituted it here in Philadelphia, that you don't pay no fares and enter through the rear door. But let me play. Now, it talked about this driver. Now, he posted this video on March 21st, and the man is gone already. Let me play what he stated here, Richard, for our listening audience.
Hey, look, listen, man, let me say something. This coronavirus shit is for real. And we out here as public workers doing our job, trying to make an honest living to take care of our families. But for you to get on the bus and stand on the bus and cough several times without covering up your mouth, and you know that we in the middle of a pandemic, that lets me know that some folks don't care, utterly don't give a fuck. Excuse my language, but that's how I feel right about now. For a grown-ass person in her late 50s, early 60s, to stand on the fucking bus and cough 4 and 5 times without covering up your mouth, and you know we in the midst of a motherfucking crisis with this coronavirus, I am pissed the fuck off. I ain't blaming nobody. I ain't blaming nobody but the woman that did that shit. I ain't putting the fault on nobody else. For us to get through this and get over this, man, y'all need to take this shit serious. It's folks dying from this. Listen, it's folks dying out here because of this shit. And I don't mean, listen, I'm mad right about now because that shit was uncalled for. And I'm trying to be the professional that they want me to be. And I kept my mouth closed. All right, thank you. I kept my mouth closed. But it's at some point in time where you got to draw the line and say enough is enough. That shit was uncalled for. I feel violated. I feel violated for the folks that was on the bus when this happened. It was about a good 8-9 people on the bus as she stood there and coughed. Never covered up her mouth. So, to those who watching, I'm just letting you know, this is real, and y'all need to take this serious. This is real. I'm out here, we out here, we moving the city around back and forth, trying to do our jobs and be professional about what we do.
Richard, I'm going to stop it there. Now, this was, he made this video less than 2 weeks ago, and the man is gone.
Ain't that something?
Because of the virus. And it might have been because of that woman sneezing on the bus. Who knows?
Right.
But, I'm looking at the man. He looked like he's a healthy individual. He's working every day at that time. And right. Now the man's gone. So I just want to play that in reference to what he said less than 2 weeks ago, and now the man is not here.
I'm still underlining the underlining condition, you know, that we living in, you know, for the behavior of the person on the bus, excuse me, and whatever, you know, his condition was to make him, his immune system not strong enough to tolerate it. You know, what that the virus, you know, and I'm only saying, Elliot, that our environment is too toxic for us to be sitting in the house and not thinking about how our behavior, they're making us, forcing us to be change our behavior. But we need to be thinking and communicating in this moment of how we want our behavior to change. How do we want our culture to change? Because to come out of this and to be doing the same thing that we've been doing, and then we look at other, go back to complaining about the youth violence, shootings, the prison population increase, the amount of, children, women as being snatched up out of our communities, the unemployment, to come back out and then be faced with that and not put no pressure to change, it's just, that's to me is unacceptable. And that to me is not just about those who are sick, but those who claim we are healthy, because we need to be, those are political actions. Those are relationship actions, you know, that we have to tighten up, just like tightening up your immune system to not have the same thing occur again. I mean, I hear people being stressed out about this. That's another thing. They already said, I mean, Ellie, I don't know if you remember, they were talking at one point about how children are trauma victims. And they were going to put, they're going to institute in the schools, you know, these things for children who are treated with a PTSD because of the shootings that go in our community. And maybe I'm isolating, you know, just being a grown out of a urban environment where we're more close together. Maybe I'm isolated, you know, being in the Northeast corridor compared to the South in a rural area where you're more spaced apart. But from what I get, I condition, you gave the numbers for Michigan. Well, how long has Michigan been, I mean, what is it, been drinking dirty water? They ain't put out no printing press of money to solve that. They put those people under stress to come up with buying the water, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, and the water's still not clean, and now they're going through this. One catastrophe on top of another.
That's why I'm, you know, this, you know, if we saying taking it serious, that statement means that we need to be taking it serious. Because if we don't, we walk out of this and it's going to be worse. They showing, they ain't really got, they showing, they don't even have enough. They don't have enough. They run around trying to find masks and respirators. When they were supposed to have them on in stock. If I'm listening correctly.
We're going to take a brief break, and when we come back, you're in Freestyle Friday mode, so you can get involved in the conversation by dialing 215-490-9832. Again, that's 215-490-9832. And when we come back, Richard, we'll touch on some of the points you want to raise in reference to the documentary. You know, before we go take a break, Scotty mentioned some things about his grandmother going to church. And usually in situations like this, people that are avid churchgoers look towards their faith as a source of strength. And anybody would, whether you're Christian, your spirituality, you do have to use your mind because the Almighty gives us a mind to use. But you do look towards the ancestors for some type of guidance. And for those that believe certain ways, they put their stock in their faith. But let me read this, because this is something to consider. It says, and this is from a published report, Pastor Jamal Bryant offers 1,000 COVID-19 tests to minorities for $150 each, then postpones the event. New Birth Ministry Baptist Church, led by Pastor Jamal Bryant, announced Thursday that he was canceling a 2-day drive-through event at the church where up to 1,000 people would have been tested for COVID-19 for a fee of $150 each. In a statement posted on the church's Facebook page and shared with local media, the church said it decided to postpone the event that was scheduled for April the 4th and 5th to comply with the executive order expected to be signed by the Georgia Governor Brian Kemp on Thursday. To remain compliant with Governor Kemp's executive order, which is being signed today and goes in effect on Friday, New Birth Ministry Baptist Church and various will postpone the COVID-19 testing scheduled for this weekend. We look forward to coordinating with our local and state officials to support flattening the curve in Georgia and helping to heal our nation and our world from this global pandemic, the church issued a statement. Based off of these stringent regulations placed in Georgia, we are forced to suspend our drive-in worship experience, planned for this year's resurrection service. New Birth will continue to stream our weekly sermons online and across our digital platforms. New Birth will continue to serve thousands of individuals each Saturday at the King's Table Food Pantry, where we adhere to federal and state food distribution guidelines. The media reached out to both Bryant and New Birth on Thursday for further comment on the test, but no response was immediately available. In a broadcast on Facebook Live Wednesday, which was removed from the Facebook page Thursday morning, Bryant announced that an agreement was reached between RoDocs and Oakhurst Health Clinics to provide 1,000 corona tests to minorities. I'm excited to announce something huge today. I'm grateful to God that we can come to an agreement. New Birth, as of today, is in possession of 1,000 COVID tests that are going to be made available to our community. Absolutely amazing that we're going to be able to serve minorities for COVID-19 testing and that anywhere else in the nation. I'm excited about it, and I'm not ashamed about it, he says. Bryant revealed that at least a week ago that he was in possession of the test and told the Atlanta Journal-Constitution that he was approached by a Florida lab that wanted to partner with the church and provide tests. Now, Richard, they have testing here in Philadelphia at certain locations.
Right.
And, in fact, they have a big one down there at the stadium down there where you drive up. If you're a first responder, you know, you can just drive up. But anybody else, you have to have some type of symptoms and, you know, have the note from your doctor. Then you can get the test. I've never heard of any fee that the people had to pay. Have you?
No.
Now, this man is a church pastor, a big mega church pastor. I think he took over that church with that child pedophile, the one that died. I think he used to be pastor of that church, if I'm not mistaken. Well, he took over that church, and he's going to charge and he said he's proud about it and not ashamed. You're going to charge, and I'm looking at this thing here on his Facebook page that was taken down. It says Saturday and Sunday, April 4th and 5th, starts at 9 a.m., stops at 5. You pay $25 for the assessment and then $125. Limited slots available. So he wanted the people to pay $150.
Right.
I mean, see, you know, I'm telling you, our people got to stop being fools. And I hate to say that and put it in that type of language about somebody being a fool. But come on here. You're going to pay this man $150. You're already giving him your money in tithes. Then he's going to turn around and charge the church members to take a COVID-19 test. That's the first time I heard anybody charging. I didn't see all this tests going on. They never mentioned any fee. You drive up, they swab you. He charged $25 for an assessment. What kind of assessment? You're driving up, if you got a note or whatever, or they put the thing on your head if you got a high temperature. And I seen him putting the thing in people's nose, swabbing them. He's going to charge $25 for assessment and then $125 for the $150 altogether for poor people going to their church. Somebody needs to take him out and put their foot square up his behind. Go ahead. I'm sorry, Richard.
The company that gave it to him, that was another part of that. You know, they're experimenting.
You know the company gave it to him, but he turned around and charged the people. That's a damn disgrace, man. Boy, you know, come on. I shared this with a guy I know that's an average churchgoer, just so he could, I'm trying to bash him, just so he could have some type of critical thought and maybe response in reference to it. And his response to me, because I sent it to him in a text message. His response to me is, well, the event was canceled. And I just left it alone. The only reason the event was canceled is because the governor issued an order against those gatherings. If it wasn't for that, he would have went on with the event.
He would have had 1,000 people or close to
And that's sad to say. And I think that you might be right. I hope that you would be wrong, but I think that you might be right. We're going to take a brief break. And you know what, Richard, I meant to say at the beginning of the telecast, my dad used to like his music, and he played a lot in the house. So I kind of got attached to it. Bill Withers died today.
Yeah, I've seen that.
He made some heck of a music over the years, man. All the big hits, Use Me, Ain't No Sunshine. Then he did that the thing with Grover Washington when he was near the end of, I think it was earlier, just before he retired. I think he did that one with Grover Washington and one with the Crusaders.
Mm.
But
and Grandma, was that?
The Grandma's Hand, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I Can't Write Left-Handed when he wrote that thing about the brother coming home from Vietnam.
Right.
Yeah. Who is he when he was talking to his woman? Who is he and what is he to you? You remember that, Richard?
Everybody was saying that. That was about, what's her name?
What was her name? What was her name? She was on Room 222, I think, that he had married.
Denise Nichols.
He said, who is he? And what is he to you? Oh, man. When we come back from break, I'm going to play one of his cuts there just to acknowledge his life here. And we're going to take a brief break. And when we come back, we'll continue the conversation. You can get involved by dialing 215-490-9832. Again, that's 215-490-9832. Time for An Awakening. We'll be right back.
Listening to Time for an Awakening. Time for an Awakening. With host Brother Elliot and Brother Richard on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
All Insurance Incorporated, an African-American owned and operated insurance agency in business for over 20 years, located at 231 Southeastern Road in Glenside, PA, with other offices in Germantown and West Philadelphia. Call now for commercial insurance quotes, homeowners insurance quotes, automobile insurance quotes, notary and tax services, representing over 15 major A-rated insurance companies, offering a discount on all notary services when you call in for a free quote. Call this number, 215-885-2444. That number is 215-885-2444. 215-885-2444. All Insurance Incorporated.
Before your roof becomes unruly, call Dooley. Dooley Brothers, specializing in shingle, rubber roofs, gutters, downspouts, and vinyl sidings. Call for your free estimate today. 215-224-3882. That's 215-224-3882. Dooley Brothers Roofing, the roofing experts you can trust. That number again, 215-224-3882. 215-224-3882. Before your roof becomes unruly, call Dooley.
I think you'll find, sir, that there will come a time when black people wake up and become intellectually independent enough to think for themselves. As other humans are intellectually independent enough to think for themselves, then the black man will think like a black man, and he will feel for other black people. And this new thinking and feeling will cause black people to stick together. And then at that point, you'll have a situation where when you attack one black man, you are attacking all black men. And this type of black thinking will cause all black people to stick together. And this type of thinking also will bring an end to the brutality inflicted upon black people by white people. And it is the only thing that will bring an end to it. No federal court, state court, or city court will bring an end to it. It's something that the black man has to bring an end to himself.
And leaders, you administrators, you teachers, you leaders, you are the worst. No cowardly, punctified leader will lead this new generation of young black men and women. Your day of leading them is finished. You can't feel it? When you talk to young people, you can't feel that you're missing them? Parents, you can't feel when you're talking to your children that this is a new generation and they don't want to hear your compromising talk? Did you hear them in Ferguson tell Jesse, get the hell out of here? You ain't no leader. I was hurting for my brother because Jesse worked hard for our people. But time has moved on. And what was good yesterday ain't no good at all today. So either you become a new vessel so that new wine can be poured into the old wine. Your day of leading our people is over, and it will never come back to you again.
Damn it, we're still in the land of our bondage. We're still in the land of captivity. We're still a slave to the Democratic Party, still a slave to the Republican Party. You can't even see a Freedom Party. You don't see it. You're a slave. I'm a slave. And unless we admit that we are slaves, then we can never get free. Never get free.
You're the one who put the present Democratic administration in Washington, D.C. The whites were evenly divided. It was the fact that you threw 80% of your votes behind the Democrats that put the Democrats in the White House. When you see this, you can see that the Negro vote is the key factor. And despite the fact that you are in a position to be the determining factor, what do you get out of it? The Democrats have been in Washington, D.C. only because of the Negro vote. They've been down there 4 years, and all other legislation they wanted to bring up, they brought it up and gotten it out of the way, and now they bring up you. and now they bring up you. You put them first, and they put you last. Because you're a chump. A political chump.
So you could see that the government of America has been planning our demise. Any members of Congress here, any members of the civil rights movement that are here, you love this nation. You've suffered every indignity to make America better, that she might be great. And every time you forced her to make a law that was in our favor, they came right behind that law with skill and chicanery to make the law of non-effect. When it came to treating the citizens of African descent fairly, America failed. She put them in chains. The government put them on slave quarters, put them on auction blocks, put them in cotton fields, put them in inferior schools, put them in substandard housing, put them in scientific experiments, put them in the lowest paying jobs, put them outside the equal protection of the law, kept them out of their racist bastions of higher education, and locked them into positions of hopelessness and helplessness. The government gives them the drugs, builds bigger prisons, passes a three-strike law, and then wants us to sing God Bless America? No, no, no. Not God Bless America. God damn America, that's in the Bible, for killing innocent people. God damn America for treating her citizens as less than human. God damn America, as long as she tries to act like she is God and she is supreme.
On my mind.
Welcome back to Time for an Awakening, and I thank the listening audience for indulging me a little bit. I had to play that in tribute to Mr. Bill Withers. He left a soul shadow on my mind, and I think that's why we do what we do, Richard, because the soul shadow's been left on our mind.
That's it.
So I figured I'd throw that in there in tribute to Bill Withers, who made transition today or last night, one or the other. I think it was today.
It was today, yeah.
Yeah. Go ahead, Richard. Raise that topic. Use and of course we got a couple calls, but I'll put them on. But
I was just the other part. Elliot, I was just thinking about, or wanted to emphasize and, to hopefully engage with the Time for Awakening audience is that what I think that we, Elliot, I don't like to say I in this manner because you get so many debates about like, well, what do you know? Or who's your, but somebody needs to say, the I can be an individual and the I can be collective. But we need to have a collective eye coming out of this, house arrest. I call it a house arrest because I take the concept that we're in a colonized state. We cannot have these kind of conditions and not be and say they're self-induced, right? And I think the last phase, and you talk about what we call the first phase, and the decadence of the first phase, and you gave us an example of the administrative class was the ministers, right? The preaching class. That was the institution, especially the Christian church was the institution that really was instrumental at one point in liberating Africans from enslavement. Especially if we look at, and you kind of help us all the time, look at those men and women that came out of the 19th century, that especially that looked in and were asked, what do you want? And this rings in my head as far as one of the narratives that you, historical narratives where the minister, well, we just need to be left alone so that we can be able to, and paraphrasing, so that we can develop ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Right. That was, I would say, the first phase of an administrative class that they recognize as, we call them leaders, that we can be able to organize ourselves and build what we need to build. And not only did they liberate themselves, they also demonstrated they can build. And then I looked at I'm calling the second wave of the administrative class. I'm a little negative about that second wave, and they kind of made that shift from the first wave, which we sometimes talk about, and you gave again an example of here is a minister that's supposed to be serving his flock and fleecing them, right? Going to charge them in a pandemic, going to charge them, a certain amount, and in order to be able just to see if they had virus.
Yeah.
And it would be one thing if it cost him something to get it. But it was given to them, and that's the what I call the decadence of the end of the first wave of the administrative class, and the decadence continues, it seems, because when we look at the political machinery, the amount of political at all levels, a county, city, state. In the political parties of Black people who are administrators, right? They're the ones that's supposed to look out over the population that they serve and say, these are the needs that we need to be able to marshal the resources to support what is the outcome. And obviously, for the amount of individuals that we have at this present time, and for the amount of problems we have that's manifest, and we talked about that earlier, that administrative class is not, and again, when I say administrative, the people who look at that does the day-to-day thinking
and clerical and management and provide the leadership of how to provide goals and responsibilities of servicing their people. The people that, especially if they, in this case, they are elected to get in these positions and even in some cases have to battle for the, you know, the minimal resources that exist in order to service their people. And it would be obvious that they're not doing a good job. I think you make reference to that all the time. They obviously are not doing a good job. And they've been in about 50 years.
Yeah.
Right? So we need to, and it seems that, and we get a chance to engage all the time with people who are becoming, come out of the birth of the community, a new group of individuals who are the administrative class, could be this new administrative class, but it requires that we as individuals and as a group really set out a vision. And that's what I was liking about, you know, in that phrase about what Brother Carr put in his in documentary. And he gives example of what, but to me, we need to be able to codify or be able to lay out what is it that we're supposed to be doing in this time while we're in close proximity and we're supposed to be community. We're not supposed to be just communicating with our technological machines. We're supposed to be communicating with ourselves. We are a relationship people. Are we willing to lose that cultural norm that we are relationship people to where only we're going to be engaged in with machines? And what he asks in this, and I'm only reading the excerpt, but I thought it was important because we all should see ourselves as organizers. Doesn't that make sense, Elliot, that we should all as individuals see ourselves as organizers and go in our community to be able to organize and not just go in our community and I don't know, do what? And but he says this Independence Day project asks scholars, activists, organizers, and many others from all over America two basic questions. And these I thought were really important that we should be engaging in. What does an independent Black community look like if free of white supremacy? Do you think that that's something important that we should be asking ourselves while we're under? We'll be in the house for like 2 months. They're making it. Does that make sense, Elliot, that we should be asking ourselves that question, even if we can't answer it?
Oh, certainly. And not only that, I mean, what are we doing to try to make that difference? That's the thing. Yeah. You know, we can ask the question, but if we're not doing anything to try to make a difference in that answer, then I just see the person as being part of the problem.
Exactly. And which brings up you raise, which is the logical next step, because the next question that he asks, and it, you know, I just, because that's what an administrative class is supposed to be doing 24/7.
Oh, certainly. Where no vision is, the people perish. You have to have vision and foresight for the people that you're supposed to be leading.
That, you know, I mean, we have to be confident that that vision, though it seems to be coming out from us, that if we were able to do, as you say, and what is in the next step, that next question he asks, you know, that though it seems that it would service us, it would service anybody. Because we're also because we're relationship people. So what we want for ourselves, we want for someone else. But we shouldn't be looking for somebody else to get something thinking that they're going to give it to us. That don't make no sense. You know, to me, I don't know. But the second question he asked, what steps, and that goes to your point, must we take to make that vision a reality? Because then now we should be talking about those steps. And then when we're talking, then we can hold each other accountable. That makes sense, Elliot?
Yeah, certainly.
You know, and so here, that's what, because to be a colonized people is to be under somebody's authority and under their dictates. And if they have, from the inception of us being in this country, have said that really the only role you have is to be a commodity for us, either something that we purchase or something that's purchased just to have that say we got it, or something we purchase to say that you're doing something for us, not for you, never for you. That's the design of this country, and that's the design of our relationship. And out of that, would they want you in perfect health? Would they want you to be able to be self-assured? Would they want you to have those stores, those life-giving institutions? When I look, I don't have a television. I don't watch television, but I'm a Facebook addict, and the news, trying to carry some coverage of some news. But you know, everybody who's talking about this pandemic, it seems to be that's supposed to be solving it is white. The hospital directors, the Congress people, the people that's supposed to be doing, the public health people, the people who's going to come up with the solution for the virus, the ones who own the company that's going to make the masks, the ones who own the company that's going to make the respirators. Where are we at? Don't that make us dependent?
Yeah, and you
does
know,
that make sense, Elliot?
And you don't hear the leadership saying anything. Where's the leadership addressing our people in relation to this? It's clear. I mean, we didn't read all types of published reports from different black entities saying that this is going to hit our people extremely hard. So where is the leadership even giving the people vision, hope, guidance? I haven't heard any of them address this. I've heard all of them come on terrestrial radio and talk about Trump and what he isn't or isn't doing. Who cares about Trump? They are supposed to be leading their people. They were voted in leadership by their own people. White folks that supported Trump didn't vote them into leadership. That shouldn't be their concern, although black leadership always is concerned with other people beside their own. Let me take a couple of these calls here. Let's go to 267. 267?
Hey, Elliot. Hey, Richard. I'm not going to keep you long. I know your lines are probably full. They should be. But let me say this, man. I've been, ever since I heard Alton Maddox say this on Time for Awakening, I absolutely agree with it. The thing that's needed the most in our community is a practice code of ethics. Without that, I don't care if you give us stimulus checks, reparations, or whatever, we'll still be a colonized, we'll just be the colonized mind. We're going to rely on this person to do everything for us. I was looking at that Jamal Bryant thing. Well, this man, a leader of a church that shouldn't even really have no followers because of the previous person that was in there, he's charging his followers $150 each to test them for this coronavirus. Something that's free, but he's going to charge the parishioners of his church $150 to see if they test positive for, man, do you know that man should be locked up right now?
Go ahead.
He should be locked up right now. Now, the thing that really drives him a wall is not Jamal Bryant. It's the people that follow him, that bring their children there. Those are the people that get me really upset and angry. They hear what this pandemic is doing. It took me a while to catch on because I know how much this man lies. I know how much he uses the media to lie. And I'm still not 100% bought into all this nonsense. But there might be something out there that might be just as deadly as what they're telling us. So I've taken all the necessary precautions for me and my family.
There you go.
I have bought the supplements to build up our immune system. I wear a respirator. Now, when I first bought those respirators about a month and a half ago, you should see some of those comments on my Facebook page. People was letting me, they don't work, this, that, and y'all. They said they don't work. And this was the information that was given to our people at that time. Like, don't even buy those because they don't work. Now, I wear my respirator in the supermarket. People are dying to find out where I got it from. Now, I'm, you know, like I said, I hear what the man is saying. I take the proper precautions. I take, you know, I also take that little, you know, that story of Noah when he was building an ark out there because he foreseen trouble. And by the time that ark was built, it was too late for all the people that was mocking him. I mean, you know, sometimes we got to like say, oh, that story's fake, this, that, and the other. But sometimes those stories, which I believe were written by our ancestors, they were just twisted by this man. Sometimes we got to take those stories and put them to a present-day sense. And like I said, if you go back to my page when I first bought this thing, people was like, oh, they don't work, they don't this. They... Now they're saying it's mandatory. But they're going to make it mandatory for you just to be outside. You got to have a mask.
Cover your face. Yeah, something. Even if you have
everybody.
Just a bandana.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, but the information given to us in February, oh, it don't work. It's this, that, and the other. You know, don't worry about it. Don't even bother that. Now they don't have doctors and nurses with them. So, see, I don't trust nothing that this man says. He said, get a little paper mask. I'm buying a respirator. You know what I mean? To really filter out that stuff. If it's, you know, whatever it is. 5G, I mean, 5G, you know, no respirator going to stop that anyway. That's like a microwave. So, you know, I don't know what it is, man. And I heard a conversation earlier where one brother was, like, pretty angry that he was called ignorant. And the way it was said, I would have been insulted also. But I am ignorant about science, about these, you know, I even heard this one sister, and she had her MD outfit on. She had a stethoscope around her neck. And she was saying, like, this whole thing is a scam. And this, that, and the other. She said, wake up, people. But then she lost me with something she says. And this is where the average person has to use common sense. She said, all viruses die in 80 degrees Fahrenheit. Now, we know that's a lie because the body temperature is 98.9. So, you know what I mean?
Well, and not only that, Rob, and not only that, you got this pandemic has hit the continent, and the continent is warm. It's not cold over there.
Yeah. Iran.
No, I'm talking about the continent of Africa. I'm not necessarily talking about Iran. I'm talking about in Africa.
Right.
It's in the continent. And, you know, I don't see people wearing coats over there. I mean, it's always warm. So no, go ahead. I just wanted to throw that in.
Just with the 80 degrees Fahrenheit, I know she wasn't a person I should be listening to. But this is the information that's going out to our people, man. And you know, and I'm going to say this one last thing. Me and you talked about it. We heard Senator Anthony Hardy Williams come on the radio. I think it was Wednesday. He came on. This is right after the SBA, Small Business Association, told some people. Now, I got it secondhand from somebody else from another nationality whose leaders told them about this SBA. So they had filled out their grant to get the money that was promised to them, a grant up to $10,000 for all small businesses. So I said, me and my wife immediately get on the computer, and yes, it was. It was a application. But I heard this idiot get on a Black Talk radio station. Every question that was asked to him about anything, he did not know. The only thing this guy knew was we got absentee ballots for those who, because we know we can't get out there and vote. So we got absentee. That's the only thing he knew. Absentee ballots. And this guy once ran for mayor. He knew nothing. But these are the kind of leaders like Jamal Bryant, like that guy, Senator Anthony Williams, like all the, these are the kind of clowns that we have leading our communities to the slaughter. Man, we need that code of ethics, like Brother Alton Maddox said. We need to stick to that code of ethics. That's the only way we'll survive. I don't care if they give us, you know, people, oh, we need reparations. Oh, we need sovereignty. You got to get a sovereign mindset first before you even do anything with sovereignty. You know what I mean? If you don't have a sovereign mindset where you can go over there and build a thing or wrap a rag around your face before you go out the house, then, you know, I mean, it sounds good. But, you know, other than that, if we don't have the mindset for it, man, you know, I don't know. I just get so disgusted sometimes. Like I said, it's not Jamal Bryant that I really get angry at. It's those who blindly follow him because they hear what's being said, they see what's being done, and they still go there like sheep going to slaughter, man. So that's what ticks me off, and it really ticks me off. And I just sometimes I just have to meditate and still my mind just to cool down sometimes because, a lot of times I just give up. I said, cannon fodder got to exist. The Ark is afloat. It's leaving those behind. You know what I mean? Because those of us who see what's coming, we better get on that bandwagon and do what we have to do just for us and our families and leave the cannon fodder alone because the cannon fodder will cut your throat for nothing just because you're trying to educate them. So, you know, I just got to end with that, man. All right, brothers. I'll be talking to you and listening to the rest of the show.
Thank you for your contribution.
Thank you. All right.
Let's go to 414. Let's put them back on hold. Let's go to 215. 215.
Hey, Brother Elliot and Brother Richard, how y'all doing?
Hey, sir.
How y'all brothers doing tonight?
Good. How you doing?
I'm doing fine. I praise be to Allah. You know, Brother, before I talk about that buffoon Jamal Bryant, you know, when you played Bill Withers, and my prayers and condolences go out to his family since the brother, you know, made transition today, according to Brother Richard. You know, may Allah be pleased with the brother. He ran on paradise. And when you played that other clip earlier, Brother Elliot, the brother that spoke, had the woman was caught from the bus, and he said, now that brother had made transition. Elliot, that was so surreal, man.
That ain't even been two weeks.
That is so surreal. I'm sitting listening to that, Brother Elliot, and it just really got to me, man. I was like, wow, that is so unbelievable, man. You know, it's like, oh, man, I didn't even know. Man, it's just so surreal, you know. But you know, Brother Elliot, you know, like I said, before I talk about Brian and his shenanigans and stuff, Brother Ralph made some good points as well as Brother Scotty, too. You know, it's funny when you and Rich was talking earlier about the Asian situation with the bodegos and stuff and how these Asian businesses are being, the police not enforced it.
Now, have you noticed some open in your area?
Yes, some are.
Okay.
And here's the kicker, Brother Elliot. This is going to really get you and Brother Richard and the Time from the Wicked List audience. If y'all familiar with the newspaper called The Public Record, that was founded by the late Jimmy Tyone. He's a South Philly native, I believe. Mm. You know, he's a late councilman. Well, anyway, in the current issue of The Public Record, guess who's on the front of this, Elliot? And it's showing me this stuff is not part and partial. They got an indicted councilman, Bobby Heenan, right?
Mm-hmm.
And guess who was alongside Bobby Heenan? Fat Boy, the racist FOP president, McNesby. And in back of them is three Asian. I think it's two Asian women and one Asian man. They got masks on. And while they was up there, they was up in the Northeast by Frankfort and Cotman. They was up there to congratulate the Asian business community for providing essential items during this time of COVID-19. Now, I'm saying to myself, I never seen Bobby Heenan or McNesby anywhere in the black community supporting any black businesses or whatever like that. But they're up there, you know, for the Asian. And I bet you, Ellie, they ain't all they supporting up there. I bet you they're allowing them to sell beer and alcohol and everything else up there because, like you said, they're not going to enforce that on them, you know. And see, and like you said, Ellie, the first thing we see, our people still so – you know, like you say, you got brothers and stuff hanging all out there and like you say, going to these places, drinking, and they don't even have enough decency for your humanity to even have a restroom. So you got to sit out there and urinate and in some cases defecate out there after drinking that poison and stuff that they giving you and that nasty food. I mean, we just, like I said, Ralph said cannon fodder. Well, I say a glutton for punishment as well. If you can add that, glutton for punishment. We just, some of our people just as silly as they can be, man, you know. And then, like I say, you got council people of Asian descent, and again, they advocating for their people because remember back here when they was trying to shut some of businesses down and make them shut down at a certain time. David, he raised holy hell about that. You know what I mean? And so because he want to make sure that Asian dollar keep on flowing and making sure that black folks continually enrich these Asians, making them rich. And then, of course, the councilwoman Helen Gillen, the same way, she looking out for Asian businesses and stuff. That's why she was upset when a conservative talk radio was talking about some, you know, don't go down there and eat in Chinatown because of the corona possible people coming from China over, you know, with the COVID-19, and she raised holy hell about that because, again, she's looking out for an Asian community as far as that from an economic standpoint. And I always say, where's the hell our black leadership? Like you said, why are they not advocating? Ralph just mentioned that idiot just now, Anthony Hardy Williams, and when he was on that terrestrial radio show. Like Brother Ralph said, he didn't know a damn thing about the SBA, the small business loan. Ralph had to hear from a Caucasian a fella. He had to tell him about that. Now, you mean to tell me the white legislators, they was had enough wherewithal to tell their people about these things that was eligible for their people? But you mean to tell me Anthony Hardy Williams got the same job that the white boys got? He can't even – he don't know nothing? Well, these niggas is about as useless as a wet rag, man.
You know, but
– and I keep saying –
but they use that same playbook now because I went on there and applied, and I see that it's time sensitive. In fact, one of them expires tomorrow, expires today, the 3rd.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're a black business and your lawmakers didn't tell you what's going on, and then you finally hear about it, then run on there, then you're too late. You're a day late and a dollar
That's
short,
right.
And then they'll turn
That's
around
right.
and blame you. Oh, you didn't do this. You didn't do that. These other people know what's going on. In fact, when I went on there, two of the ones had already been, too many people had applied. So they were closed out.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, this man comes on there and don't provide the community. Everybody is not working stiff. It's some people in the community that do have businesses.
Sure.
And they
sure.
need to know what's going on. He comes on there with no information, no nothing, just talking about some absentee ballots so he can get back in office and do more of this dumb stuff he's been doing. Nothing.
But now, of course, Brother Elliot, when the summertime come, like I say, he'll get on that on terrestrial radio station and talk about coming to his cookout in Southwest Philadelphia. Come, you know, come bring the kids. You know, y'all come get the free hamburgers and hot dogs and face painting and the moon bounce and everything, and he be talking about, and he act like that's something big that he's doing for the black community. And by the way, just to let the audience know, Elliot, he's not paying one dime. All those things that they have for the food and stuff they have for the cookout is not another money coming out of his pocket. It's all through donations. But he getting on that radio show like he's spending out of his pocket, like he's doing something big. Can't offer the black community nothing. He can't provide information for a brother like yourself or Ralph who's black businessman, can't provide that, like, no information about that can help y'all out or the black farmers, but he can get up there talking about some a cookout, you know what I mean? And but he don't know nothing. Like Ralph said, he didn't know anything, but he had no problem knowing something about 4 or 5 years ago when him and that other Negro ran up to Lincoln University and tried to get that Muslim professor removed from Lincoln, who's a business professor, because he dared to be critical of Israel. Or he dared to be critical of Israel. They wanted to get him removed because he was an anti-Semite. You know, I mean, that's why I say, Ali, sometime in life, brother, we get what we get. We get the leadership that we deserve sometime. And I say that with caution, because I know a lot of our people, like I always say, they're politically ignorant. They're uninformed. And when you are an uninformed voter, you keep voting for clowns like Dwight Evans, like Anthony Hardy Williams, John Lewis, James Clyburn. I mean, this is even on the national. That's why I threw them in there, because it's on the national level. You keep voting for these same individuals, and you wonder why your community continue to get what they get. And like Brother Ralph said, they are purposely leading our people to slaughter. And the only thing they got to tell our people, whether it be Anthony Hardy Williams, Clyburn, John Lewis, all they got to tell our people in the midst of this coronavirus outbreak is make sure y'all get registered, vote. You don't have if you can't get to the polls, use absentee ballots, and make sure y'all vote for Joe Biden. That's all they can give us, man. You know, that's all they can give us. I mean, you're talking about a sad state of affairs, brother. It's a sad state of affairs. And they are part and partial, Elliot and Richard, why people like this charlatan, Jamal Bryant. You know, for some reason, Elliot, you know, sometimes you see a brother or a sister and you don't know them personally, but you look at them and you get a bad vibe from them. You say, I don't particularly like that guy or that sister. You don't know where they coming from, but you just get a bad vibe. I never liked that guy, man. I'm saying, I'll be my witness, Ellen Richard. It was something about Jamal Bryant that always rubbed me the wrong way. I never liked, even though he was being propped up by certain black people in the media, something about the guy just rubbed me the wrong way. And now with his latest action in the midst of this COVID-19 outbreak, with black people poor, we the last hired and first fired, and he had the audacity where he getting tithes from black people every Sunday. Some of these poor blacks was giving their last dime for tithes and whatever other, you know, collections he's making in this church, and he got the audacity to charge them $150 for some COVID-19 testing. That nigga should be ran out of town on the rail. They need to run that nigga right to the city borders and put some fire behind his tail. To keep getting up and don't come back. He's a disgrace, man. He's an out and out disgrace, you know. But again, I have to defer to Brother Ralph. As bad as he is, and he is bad, make no mistake about it, he's a despicable maggot of a person. But what's even worse is the blind Negroes that follow him. You know what I mean? Like Brother Ralph said, they heard these Negroes get up there with their shenanigans and stuff, and they still go to these churches with these Negroes leading them to slaughter. Some of our people that is continually go for that. So some of our people go to these churches where you know, had the Minister Farrakhan, you had the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, you had other, you know, like-minded black men and women tell our people who the chosen people of God is and stuff. And yet these pork chop beating ham, eating Negroes, killing these Negroes can still get up there on Sundays and tell black folks that these chosen people of God is some damn white European, so-called white European Jew over there in Israel, which is land they have took illegally. And yet these misguided Negroes thinking that some white man over there, some Agonazi Jew, is the chosen person of God when it's their self. And that's why you have some of these black Christian churches, especially a lot of these mega churches, Elliot and Richard, they take every year, they take black men, and I know this for a fact, I know some have went there, they take black men, women, and children over to Israel to be indoctrinated with that nonsense that these white folks is God's chosen people. Man, you know, I'm telling you, man.
You know why? Because most of our energy and thought, instead of being able to define that, you know, define that vision, is more into defining what they do. And when most of our energy and thought is into defining what they do, then we're not defining what we're doing. And then, more importantly, defining the steps that we're going to be, as Brother Ralph said, be held accountable or have that ethics to be able to say that we're going to carry out. I mean, most of our dialogue is in explaining what these guys do. So we're in space in defining what is it that we're trying to create? And if we were trying to create, that would be taking up most of, that would fill up the room.
You're right. You're right. Actually, right, Brother Richard. I mean, I can't disagree anything you just said, man. I mean, you know, this is the dilemma people face and stuff, and that's why I close with this, so other people call us to get on. This is why I can't thank you and Richard, you and Ellen enough, Brother Richard, because again, y'all, the title y'all show is so apropos, because you know, our people, you know, time for the awakening. That's why people need us awaken mentally, spiritually, and everything. So, because I do believe that a lot, some of our people, if they know better, they'll do better. I mean, you can always say those ignorant among us, no matter what. You know, once they see the truth, they're going to still blindly follow those charlatans like the Jamal Bryants of the world. I mean, that's the gift. You can always have that. I mean, every race had their traitors or their, you know, whatever you want to call them. But I do believe that the vast majority of people, when they know the truth and stuff, and they know better, they will do better because as the late Robert Dick Gregory say, information is powerful. And when one has the right information, they act accordingly and stuff. But so many other people, they got the wrong information. And that's why you look at a guy like a Jamal Bryant as somebody that's some kind of beacon of light in the black community when he's a disgrace and stuff. Like, in the midst of this economic crisis, he had the audacity. I mean, these niggas, I'm telling you, they got some nerve, man. They're disgraceful. But again, we got misguided people and some they just don't know no better, whatever. This is what you get. You getting stuff, man. But I'll get off. Thanks for the time. I'll sit back, Brother Elliot and Brother Rich, and listen to the rest of the show, man. Good show as usual, man. Good show. Y'all keep up, brothers. Keep doing what y'all doing.
Talk to you.
Alright, peace.
Richard, before we go to the next call, you remember Kevin Coakley, the doctor who was on with us it was a while ago, that wrote those articles in reference to a cultural mind shift among black folks, and right, then right. He turned us on to the students that was right. going to Ghana.
Right.
And they came on, you remember?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm just reading this published report here 7 hours ago. Racist Zoom bombing disrupts black students' video call. It says, now that most colleges and universities have moved their classes to online lectures in the wake of COVID-19 pandemic, many are utilizing the popular Zoom video conference tool. But a University of Texas at Austin organization had to cut their Monday session short. Someone logged in and began hurling racial slurs at black students. The Austin Statesman, as the newspaper reports, that Director Ryan Sutton was engaging in conversation on an online meeting hosted by the Herman Sweat Center for Black Males, a campus initiative that targets and supports African-American males. Halfway through the Zoom meeting, students reported that unknown users suddenly appeared in the video shouting racial slurs and chants. We denounce those actions of the hackers in our on call and are working to better our newly found space on Zoom, said the center. Greg Fennis, the president of the University of Texas at Austin, responded to the racist incident in a tweet on Monday evening, calling the actions reprehensible and saying that the school is investigating the incident. The FBI released a warning the same day about Zoom bombing and other virtual threats. A large number of people are turning to video teleconferencing platforms to stay connected in the wake of the COVID-19 crisis. And reports of VTC hijacking, also called Zoom bombing, are emerging nationwide. The FBI has received multiple reports of conferences being disrupted and hate images and threatening languages. So I might have to give Professor Coakley a call there, because I know that he's involved with these black students.
Right.
You know, he put us on with the black students that he had sponsored to go over to Ghana.
Right,
so
right.
They were and it might be some of the students that talked on the program. They might be a part of this meeting that was disrupted by these racists. So I just thought it was, because as soon as I read the university, I said, wow, that's some of the students that we had talked to.
Isn't that something?
Yeah, let's go to, go ahead.
No, I was just thinking that the technology that the hackers have to do that and the energy that they're willing to be disruptive, you know, that's steps to a plan.
Yeah, well.
Texas is something, ain't it? I mean, you know.
But that's the mindset. That's the seeds. That's the seeds that's been planted by, you know, these folks now. This mindset now that's in the country, it was always there, but the brashness and openness, you know, those are the seeds. Those are the little ones that you see coming along that's going to uphold the same type of white hegemony as some of the ones that our people are criticizing now.
Right, right.
Let's go to 646. 646?
Yeah, what's going on, Brother Richard and Brother Elliot?
How are you, sir?
Hey, listen, I'm good. There's nothing in the world like a pork chop chicken eating pimp preacher. That Jamal Bryan is a classic example of a pimp preacher. Now, how could you charge your congregation members or other depressed black people at this time $150 to come in and take a test and feel good about your black ass? I mean, it is really a disgrace, and he should be called out on it, and he should be chastised, and he should absolutely be dealt with. But that's a pimp for you.
Yeah, I didn't hear any other of his fellow ministers say anything. I didn't hear black leadership say anything in reference to it.
Because
there are people being exploited.
The same thing. It ain't like you're dealing with some great moral character. Where is Dying Man John Lewis at? Where's that special Negro Stacey Abrams? Where's Mayor Keisha Bottom? Where's the rest of the so-called leadership in Atlanta not standing up and chastising this man for even trying to pull some sort of shenanigans of this nature? It's just absolutely terrible, man.
I mean, that's crazy. Crazy. I mean, have you, now you're up there in New York, I'm quite sure they got testing sites. Have you ever heard of people being charged up there?
Not that I know of. Now, what they may do is those that got insurance, they may charge their insurance at some point in time or nothing. But from what I understand, depending on what the situation is, you just go and get the test and you deal with it. And you know right now, New York is like the epicenter of this thing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, nobody, it seems, is being affected like New York is, even though it's going to spread. But right now, New York is hot and heavy, man. You know? And it's kind of sad in a sense that we have the type of leadership in the Peckerwood House that we have. Just a bunch of Neanderthals, you know, that have no idea, no clue, no vision, no nothing on how to deal with and address it. I mean, the best thing that I heard in regards to dealing with it and addressing it has come from Cuomo, to be honest with you. When he talked about this being the epicenter right now of this contagious virus pandemic, we need all the ventilators that we could get our hands on. Okay, so whereby they got states that have ventilators that right now are in heavy hit. Let us get those ventilators. Let us take care of our people. Let us get this pandemic down to a managing crisis level. And then what we do is we'll send the ventilators to the next hot spot. You see what I'm saying? That's what leadership is supposed to do, organize that. And that flew over Fredo's head. That flew over a whole bunch of people's head. Now, I want to see what's going to happen when Florida gets hit the way that it's going to get hit. Then you're going to have other places that's going to get hit. And Lord have mercy, what is going to happen when it become these red states? Let's say, God forbid, something happens in a place like Kentucky. Oh, man. I mean, I don't want it to happen to nobody. But if a place like Florida and Kentucky could get it, it'd change the whole dynamics on the argument, on the narrative.
In my way of thinking, not if the population percentage-wise that is largely hit is those zip codes that are predominantly black that has those predominantly already conditions.
Hey, brother, it seems to me that it's indiscriminate. It seems to me that everybody's getting it, brother.
You hear what I said?
Black and white in this one.
You hear what I said? when the percentage, because yes, everyone is getting it, but why, when we're such a small percentage overall, but our percentage numbers are high.
But that's not how the Negro feel. The Negro feel like he's the one that can swing the vote.
No, but
he's the one that feel he's the you know, he's the man.
Because that's my way of thinking and that's my concern. That's what gets me. Now, if it spread the percentage wise, that you could see 40-50% when you talk about a state of Florida, you know, or you talk about even New York and you see the percentage wise. But when you see that percentage wise, that the number is the larger percent is Black people, that changes the dynamic of who is being hit.
Well,
harder.
Well,
yes, everybody's being hit, but who is being hit harder and why?
Well, in New York, I couldn't tell you because they haven't put forward that narrative yet. But I know earlier Brother Elliot was speaking about where's the so-called position of the Negro. The Negro ain't got no position in this country, man. I've been telling y'all this for years. The Negro is a forgotten conclusion other than to be used to keep the Peckerwood in his position. This right here shows it to you. These CBC members and the rest of them, they don't have nothing of authoritative level to make policies and to do anything. I mean, it just shows you how much of a weak position that we in. We can't even sustain ourselves. Do you know how many people out here right now that are of color that are suffering and that's going to be suffering for the months ahead because of the simple fact that this thing ain't going to get no better, it's going to get worse? Do you know, and do you understand about all of the kids that are suffering, all of the battered women that are suffering, I mean, all of the things that are going on? You know what I mean? And it's not only our community, it's other communities.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Do you know, or can you imagine how many of these Baba Louis are breaking their daughters in? Do you know that's the type of behavior that they do and they treat their daughters and their wives? Do you know all that is happening in these communities right now and the suffering that's going on? It's worse than what we had imagined. Never seen nothing like this. This is bad. This is really bad. Do you know how many kids are out here who are not eating? You know what I mean? I live across the street from a school, right? And I see the kids lining up, man, coming to get something to eat, man, morning and afternoon. And there's a lot of them that ain't even coming because of the simple fact that their parents ain't letting them come. But they can't get out the house. I mean, man, we are in a position right now that a lot of things are going to be seen and revealed. And you got Negroes like Jamal Bryan and the rest of them doing their type of shenanigans. It's absolutely tragic. And then on top of that, you got a government that ain't even prepared to deal or address this situation. And where are we? Where's our so-called leadership at? Where are they telling the people what they should do and what they shouldn't do? Let me ask you this question. I know I'm going to get in trouble with it, but the hell, I don't care. Have you heard anything from Louis? Now, they may say it's a conspiracy because, you know, the Peckerwood took Louis off of Facebook and Twitter.
Who's Louis?
And all of your social media. But I like to know, has anybody heard anything from Louis? Has he put out a calling message on how our people are supposed to survive and take care of ourselves? Or is he under quarantine in either Chicago or Phoenix?
Oh,
you're
talking about Minister Farrakhan?
Yeah.
Let me ask you a question. Why do you say Louis? Why do you do that?
That's how I refer to him as Louis.
Yeah, but you shouldn't do that. You shouldn't do that.
Okay, then let me say.
Wait a minute. Let me say this also. Wait a minute. Hold on a second. Let me say this. look at the, because you criticize Trump a lot. But let me say something about Trump, Bush, Reagan, Johnson, all of them. And it only comes out later on. Reagan, they got tapes where he was calling. Remember at the UN meeting, he said something about, boy, I had to sit down with these monkeys at the table. Did you hear that, Richard?
Yeah.
They got tapes and all, supposedly secret tapes, when Nixon, Johnson, all of them used the N-word. And you know that Trump uses it, right?
Oh, no question.
But if you notice, in public, and when they're on their conservative talk shows, talking to their talking heads, whether it's Hannity or Beck or any of them, they don't never use any disparaging remarks about you. They're talking about you. They might say inner city people, poor minorities. They'll be talking about you, but they never say the N-word. See, we don't have to do that. You don't. I know what you're talking about when you say Europeans. You don't have to come over here and say the peck of wood cracker. I mean, that's not empowering anybody when you do that. That's not. In fact, that really makes you look like you don't have mastery of this so-called language that we've been forced to use. We don't have to use. All we got to do is put facts out. We don't have to use disparaging remarks about them, because in general, they don't use disparaging remarks against you, and they're talking about you to your face.
They don't have to, Elliot.
Well, you don't have to either. That's my point. But you don't have to either. But you're not listening. You don't have to either. That's my point. And you can get your point out.
Elliot, we have to.
No, you don't.
I understand what you're saying about.
No, you don't.
Mr. Farrakhan. I understand that. And I should refer to him as Minister Louis Farrakhan. So I understand that. Now,
or just say Louis Farrakhan. You don't have to say the minister part. But, you know, the Louis and all that. That's the type of stuff that they do.
That's how I usually refer to them. You know, that's my thing. But the point of, you must, like Khalid Muhammad did every chance he got. And I believe in Khalid like no other. Every chance he got, he referred to them for what and who they were. Because our people did not see them in the light that they needed to be seen, as evil, devilish, hateful, murderers, robbers, and thieves. If you ever went to a lecture by Khalid, or if you ever listened to Khalid, that's how he referred to him. Because for some people, our people do not understand the evilness in the wickedness of white folks. Now, if you want me to refer to them in that fashion, okay, it's your show. I respect it. But every chance you get, you're supposed to let people know that the white man is your perpetual enemy. Because if we understood that, we would not be in the position that we are in today, being self-serving to them bastards. And in the process, you don't get nothing but crumbs. And here it is, you don't do nothing for your people.
But the best way to do that is always put the facts out there. See, if you're trying to reach our people, which I think that you're trying to do, I think, then you'll be able to reach more people if you come at them a different way. Because people, soon as you start talking disparaging remarks about anybody, people are going to turn off in general. They're going to turn off.
Elliot, there's going to be some that's going to get it, and then there's going to be those that don't get it. Those that don't get it, they love it, Daddy, regardless if you say something good about it. It's just like when I made the statement about that pork chop chicken eating Jamal Bryant. Most of the people that heard me say what I say about Jamal, they either love him or they understand what I'm saying about him. And they're going to let evil be what evil's going to be. The purpose of what I'm trying to say is that we have to stop worshiping these people. And we have to look at our deeds. You know, you always say, well, what are you doing? Do you know today I went out and I went grocery shopping for three of the elderly people in my building? You understand what I'm saying? Those are the things that you're supposed to do in situations like this. Now, did I want to do it? No, I didn't want to do it. Didn't want nothing for it. But, hey, I had to go out and get a couple of things for myself. So I said, okay, let me ask them what they need. Because you know something, brother? They sitting up in their homes in a panic. And that's all I'm trying to say. We as a people at this time are really in a systematic panic that we don't even understand. And there ain't nobody looking out for us. It's just like I had to have a good laugh today and just see. Now, I know, Elliot, you're a small businessman, right? Now, I got to give credit sometime to white folks when they deserve credit. They got this woman on MSNBC named Stephanie Ruhle, businesswoman. And she was a big component of this whole stimulus thing in regards to small businesses. And I was reading her Twitter page, and she was saying how they got these hedge fund managers and these other, you know, financial institutions and other people that really don't need the stimulus money. And because, you know, they're part of these lobbyist firms and all of this, and they have, you know, relationships with the bank and stuff like this. And this is like a first-come, first-served thing from what I understand in regards to getting this money for small businesses like yourself, Elliot. They're going to go out there and, you know, do what they got to do to get the money. And she was saying how they don't need the money and how they shouldn't get the money. And the thing that I was so impressed by was that she said because of her connections and because she knows how to go about getting information back based on their tax ID, that any one of them who goes out there and get this stimulus money, that's a hedge fund manager or something like that, she gonna expose them and go after them. See, now I appreciate a white person like that. I appreciate someone that would have the interest in a sense of, let's say, everyday people. Now, is she doing it for black folks? I don't think so. Is she doing it for white folks? I assume so. But the point of the matter is, she has the fortitude to speak up about it and to do the necessary exposure on her platform. Much respect. Got to give her much respect. Because my concern is someone like yourself going to be able to go out there and get this money? I got to take my hat off to another white man in New York City. He got a whole bunch of apartments. I read in the paper today that he told all, not one, but all of his tenants, I think it's something like 200 or 300 apartments, they don't have to pay their rent for April. See, these are the type of things that I'll give a white person they do and they credit for. But you got a lot of devils out here who won't do nothing. And who feed off the situation like that. Do you know more people going to get rich off of this crisis than most? And I'll be the first to admit, I'm going to make a couple of dollars off of it because I got enough intelligence to know to put some money in the stock market. But I also tell you this, I'm losing money because I can't do what I do on the side, whether on sports or play poker. So there's a trade-off in all of these things. But I tell you this, every chance I get, I'm going to do something for a black person, and I'm going to basically do it for free if I can. And most of the time, I know I can do it for free. But this is what we have to do. So our so-called leadership, when I talk about Minister Farrakhan and the rest of them, I want to hear from them. What are they guarding their sheep to do? What are they telling the people who love them and endear to them so much to do? What is the message? Is he going to have a special message on his webcast or something of that nature, telling the people what they should do. And when I say what they should do is,
well,
how do we sustain ourselves? And I'm
let me tell you this.
I'm looking for a bad cut, right, folks?
Let me tell you this, Jay. If you knew anything about Minister Farrakhan or Elijah Muhammad or any of them, they've been telling people what they should do long before this ever happened. They've been telling people what they should do for a number of decades. Change your diet or buy foods from black farmers. Ridge Lee Muhammad got one of the largest farms down there in Georgia that's a member of the Black Farmers and Agricultural Association. When I was working, when we was trying to do some stuff here, I was in constant contact with Ridge Lee Muhammad. So it's not like he got to all of a sudden come tell people what to do. They already been telling people what to do. Who's been listening? Huh?
Separate or else.
Exactly. Who's been listening? Wait a minute. Wait, hold it, Jay. Hold it, Jay. Who's been listening? When the sister came on here about a little over a month ago saying what we need to do as a people, it was all types of other stuff to track from what she's saying. You got to dig yourself. These people been doing their work. Who's been listening? Don't all of a sudden say those people like you're going to mention Louis this and Louis. Minister Farrakhan's been preaching what the people should have been doing.
Okay, so let me ask you this.
No. I just want you to understand what you just said. And you got an answer.
How practical at this time and these conditions that's going on is separated or else?
See, now
you're going to go.
Now you take, he gave, you wow. asked the question, first question, what are they saying? And I don't put it on the minister, because the nation is a historical organization that has been, as Elliot said, has been saying what to do to deal with directly deal with the people that you say are the problem. Now, you gave the good ones. Some Negroes do. They want to get their good white folks. But then you said there's these bad white folks. And they've been talking about how to deal, if you don't want to deal with the good white folks, how to deal with the bad white folks. What black people should be doing. Now, the best you can do, and I appreciate what you said, Elliot, who's been listening? Because the best you can do is tell. Now, if you saying, well, you didn't even say, yes, they've been saying that. No, you didn't say that. Now you're going to go into in these times. Well, that applied if they applied to those times. And
let
if
me,
you
let want me to ask listen, you, let me ask you this.
Okay, go ahead, keep asking.
What position would black people be in right now? Let's be very clear. What position will black people be in right now if they separated from the daddy?
Now, here you go. Okay. We're going to move on.
Help me out because I'm not clear. And again, you know, you do this, and you're, I mean, this is masterful what you're doing, but at least you expose the way this mental model, because I think that this mental model that you're exposing, which you rightfully have, answers the question that Elliot answered. Who's listening? Because what you coming back with is, and most people have said it in exchange, because when we're coming about, well, we want to project a vision. We want to define what the steps to that vision. We want to be able to give the analysis of what might be the opposition to giving to the vision. You want to come back with really behind it, but the white man is too strong for you to do that.
You ask the question
if it's practical.
You know why I asked you the question and what I said it is because there's no foundational principle behind it. Let me finish, and I'll prove my point. They're saying separation else.
No, right? Don't go to the separation part. Deal with the part dealing with this virus we're facing, because they see. I'm gonna turn your volume down. I'm gonna turn your volume down because when you mention about now you're gonna keep trying to talk over me. When you mention about the problems that we facing now, they ain't saying nothing. You gave examples of seniors being hungry, children being hungry, and they can't get proper care. And then talk about Louis ain't saying nothing. And I told you that they've been answering that question for decades. The thing about feeding one another. They've been showing the work and how we can do this with different farms all around the country. About changing your diet to build your immune system. They've been doing it. You can all of a sudden jump to the one point about separation of ills. If you hadn't been doing some of the other things, then separation of ills will be easy. Don't come. You ain't. You ain't putting me in no corner with that weak argument you talking about.
Yeah.
Come on, man.
I'm not even going to continue.
We on the merry-go-round now, and we going back round and round. It's time for me to get off.
I'm just trying to be clear.
That's what we got. In the African tradition, you know, Aniste is the jokester. He is one of the most powerful of the African, especially Yoruba, Orishas. But from the beginning of the universe, Aniste always was the practical joker, you know, and in trying to...
Are you calling me a joker?
I'm trying to say that the projection that you're presenting, you know, in obfuscating, because that's what you do.
Oh, yeah. He's an expert at that.
Yeah, you present a position. Now, Elliot gave you a historical perspective of the answer to your question. You jump to, like, Burr Rabbit, because Burr Rabbit is an extension of Aniste, right? You know, the trickster, right? Then you right?
Hey, Richard, you good, baby? The premise is not fair,
is being historically grounded in your own cultural
historically, we're dealing with a situation that's been going on for how long, my brother? How long have we been dealing with this so-called white man? How long has the nation been in existence, and how long have they been preaching with their people? And how long has it been since we haven't been in the position that we in? Now, if that's the case, are their people not under quarantine like most people are? Are they people doing the necessary things to take care of one another as a nation? Come on now. I hope
the time for awakening.
We're assuming they are, right?
I hope the time for awakening listening is hearing this exchange, because what it points out is how necessary it is in order to try, how difficult it is. How difficult, and Elliot, again, I appreciate that you phrased it as far as who is listening. How difficult it is for those who, Sister McKinney said, for those who are standing on the sideline, when this back and forth that doesn't reinforce and doesn't really inspire us towards a vision. And you know, in organizational management, leadership provides a vision. It's not a mission. You know, you have the vision, which is something that you're trying to attain that you may not obtain, but you're trying to strive to get there. A mission gives you the ability to define more specifically.
And who completes the mission? Who completes the mission? Isn't it the sheep that complete the mission? Isn't it the people who complete the mission?
But if they're not listening to the vision, then they can't come up with, which, you know, we started that discussion.
What you're saying is,
we can't come up with the steps. Now, if somebody comes up with the steps that must be taken to execute the vision, and then they're not listening to the steps,
there's different factions of who putting forward the message. Maybe I don't believe maybe I don't believe in Minister Farrakhan's message.
And then you have that right.
But maybe I believe in T.D. Jake's message.
But maybe I believe in someone else's message. But what you do project that you said, you did it in this here exchange, which, again, those who stand up, you said, I respect what the Miss Ann said about how
No question. Which, you know what I respect, Miss Ann?
If you looked at the Financial Times April 1st, they did an article, full article, about how the venture capitals and the hedge funds are petitioning the White House to be able to get the money from the SBA.
And what did Miss Ann do? Miss Ann, who is part of that community, who, if you know Miss Ann's history, has been a top banker, she called them out and said how foul and filthy and low down dirty it is.
But if
you and who has used her platform, hold on, let me finish. And who has used her platform to call them out. So how could I not disagree with Miss Ann trying to protect someone like Elliot?
Why must I not
expose the wicked tree that Miss Ann is exposing and using her as a reference? Where's the Negro that's calling it out? Where's the Negro that's talking about it? Where's the Negro that's putting forward the alarm that what's going on? Here it is. I'm passing the good message on to the people, for people to understand and to see what's going on.
Yeah, well, let me help you. Let me help you before I move to the next. Let me help you before I move to the next call. Minister Farrakhan has been putting forth the alarm about what's going on. He's been doing it. You haven't been listening because you've been too busy calling him Louis. Now, I'm not a Muslim, but I acknowledge a man's work. You've been too busy disparaging him and calling him Louis when he's been putting out the information to what's going on and how you can try to avoid it. By changing your diet, by working with African American farmers, raising your own food. Those are the things that can be a buffer to what's going on. And those men have been doing it. They haven't been talking about it. They've been doing it. The majority of the people ain't listening. So when they listen to T.D. Jakes, T.D. Jakes haven't been telling the people what to do against this. The only thing he's been telling them is get on your knees and give me your tithes. That's the only two things that any of those ministers has been doing. So I'm gonna move on.
Hey Elliot, just make sure you do one thing for me, Monday man, for the people, so you can report that next Friday. See if they gonna let you get some of that money for your business.
And
I got some people that's doing this same thing. So if I hear anything from my people, I'll definitely report back to you. Because I'm more concerned about that than anything else, that black businesses get a hold of this $1 billion that is out there that's owed to you. That's what I'm concerned about. Because all the other stuff ain't going to feed you. This may feed you and feed the people that are associated with you. And that's more important than what Minister Farrakhan, T.D. Jakes, you know, Brian, and the rest of them do. That's real talk.
All right, man. Talk to you.
Have a good night, right. Brother Richard. Richard, you were smooth tonight, man. I love your argument. You're getting good, man. Stay on Facebook with it, though.
Please. Let's go to 602. 602?
Yes. Yes, my brothers. Good evening.
Hey, sir.
Yeah, Marcus. Sure do, Marcus. You know, when I was looking at this thing, when this first virus come on the scene, I was looking. As we were talking about Africa uniting and, now we're talking about everybody get the hell away. We're talking now about social distancing. So we move from Africa uniting to social distancing. You know, we have to look at the history of these people. You know, we got to look at the history of these people. You know, almost 100 years ago, we had the Spanish flu that killed almost 50 million people.
after World War II. So this is not something new that we are facing on the planet, you know. But it's just kind of ironic that it just happened. This just come on the scene at this time when we're talking about, you know. So, you know, there is another mindset out there, you know, among black people to say, a lot of black people saying, they giving you the governor when you go and take the test. You got that version going on out here too. People saying, hey, they give you, you know, because there have been cases where two people in the same household, right, sleep together and everything. One went, that case have corona and the other person, you know. So all kind of things going on out there. But look, this is a time for us to, as black people, get our act together, get our minds together.
I agree.
You know, we have a little time to sit at home because usually, you know, prisoner, a lot of brothers who get some consciousness, they got it in prison when they were running the street. But they'd be so busy running the street, they never have time to sit down and reanalyze the society that they're living in. But when they went to jail, they had time. So now all of us in jail now, all of us have to sit down now. So use this time to reorganize ourselves. It's time to now link up with the farmer. The farmer is going to become very important because if this thing become a protracted thing, it's going to be a problem for food to get into the inner cities. So we have to organize. Now the farmer is very important.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? So we get, that is a major thing. We have to get that organized. You know, and, you know, we're going to do it because, hear what I say, when all else fail to organize the people, conditions will. That's Marcus Garvey's words. And his words come to pass.
Yeah, his prophetic words.
2020, words come to pass.
Yep.
So, good brothers, you keep on keeping on.
All right, now.
Thank you, sir.
Let's take this one last call. Caller, what's your name? Caller? Okay. Caller?
Greetings, brother.
Yes.
How you doing?
Great.
This is Maurice calling you from New York, my brother.
Hey, how you doing?
You know, I was thinking about y'all. I promised not to call on Sunday. I didn't say anything about tonight. but I was thinking about you, brothers, when you was talking about the minister, and I was thinking about, I was like, wow, we got Coffin Ed over here and Grave Digger Jones, and we got Deke O'Malley and stuff. Reverend Deke O'Malley. People remember that from Cotton Come to Harlem and stuff. Like, I guess it's COVID testing come to Decatur and stuff. So it started making me think about that whole process. But the sad thing about the things that you're talking about, my brothers, and I'm calling you out of Brooklyn, it's when you look at this whole idea with this stimulus package and things, it lets you see the importance of banks and not controlling the economy within our own communities and stuff. You have so many people that go to check cash in places. Some people, they don't even have a bank. We have banking deserts, all these things in our communities and stuff. And you see how this is going to impact them. How are these people going to get this money? If you can't sign up online to get the money sent to you or whatever, how are you going to do that? They had some brother that was on TV. He said he went to four different banks or whatever. And a lot of these banks are like, oh, hold a second. If you don't have an account here, we ain't really dealing with you. Some other banks were saying that, hey, you know, we don't even have the information. We don't even know what's going on. You're talking, Elliot, about the deadline is going to be passing soon. A lot of people don't even have the information.
Oh, yeah.
You can't even go to a bank in your own area because there are no banks in your area. There are none. You got more check cash in places in your neighborhood. So now they're talking about issuing out debit cards and all those different things of that nature. But this just shows you what happens, right? When we have this cancer in our community, and I love Richard. I'm scared of you now because you broke down that you and LA broke down that brother's argument so eloquently. I'm afraid to call from now on. I'm afraid of what I'm gonna say because it was so good, and you did it in a positive way. Because I told LA before, I don't like it We can disagree and be respectful disagreeing. I told Lily this before, you know, and I don't like it when we disrespect the hard work that people have done. There's brothers and sisters that have done the hard work that have been out there. Now, that brother who called, I acknowledge he's an intelligent brother. He's a gifted brother, but he's not right on everything. I sent you some information from New York showing you the zip codes and stuff of where all this COVID-19 testing has been going on and what's happening. You know, that's part of my job. I do that for my show. And I'm watching this because I want people to understand, as I told y'all weeks ago, if you've been listening to me on the show, this was going to happen. I said it. They was going to overrun the hospitals and black communities and stuff, and we were going to be suffering because we don't have the resources to deal with it. And I said that we need to start focusing our mind on how are we going to get it done. Elliot, I'm going to get off the phone now. You and Richard, brothers, I salute y'all, man. I love y'all. Y'all stay safe and y'all stay blessed. And Richard, again, stay black.
Peace. Talk to you. Boy. Well, Richard, interesting dialogue tonight, man. And the thing about it, we'll be able to continue some of this dialogue on Sunday. I think it'll be a very interesting conversation with our guest Sunday to continue this dialogue. The struggle continues, man. And I like what Brother Marcus said before he ended his call. Because, I mean, we see it happening now. Circumstances is going to drive our people to make tough decisions one way or the other. Mm-hmm. You're going to be forced to do something. Or they say crap or get off the pot.
There you go. And if not all of us, some of us. Because I really believe it don't really take all of us to be the nucleus of what needs to be done.
Oh, I agree.
Provide the leadership of what of to do what is necessary.
And you know,
that becomes even more powerful.
Each day that this goes on, if our people are really looking critically, then they can see that the leadership, and I'm talking about black leadership, I'm talking about the black leadership that's been elected by our people is totally ineffective. Mm-hmm. If they're looking honestly, if they're mm-hmm. looking at a beauty contest or this guy's my friend or I like him or he's been a leader for 30 years, 20 years, if they're looking at other things, then they might not see it. Their minds will be blinded. But if they're looking straight at leadership qualities and what they're doing in a crisis situation to help their communities, they got to come up with an objective answer and see that these people are ineffective. And or they waiting for other marching orders from somebody else when they're supposed to be issuing the marching orders.
Yeah. That's it.
And so, listen, I want to thank everybody for listening to the program this evening. Lively discussion, as always, and we'll be back on Sunday, Lord willing, to continue on this path towards an awakening. Peace.
Peace.
If you're driving through the country on a lazy afternoon, or you're watching your children playing after school, they seem to be to take care of. We've got to do something, yeah, to save the children. Soon it will be their turn to try and save the play such a small part of